Grace, mercy, and peace to you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. We get a lot of spam here at the church. If you're not familiar with that term, aside from the potted meat product, what I'm talking about is junk mail. We get a lot of junk mail, junk email, otherwise known as spam. Sometimes Judy passes them on to me, and so I see some of the advertisements that we get. They're not the same ones that I might get at home, thankfully, but it's still annoying. We get a lot of random solicitors who call the church wanting to offer us this special deal on this product or that or whatever thing they do. Did you know that you can get junk faxes? Were you aware of this if you don't have a fax machine? Walk into the office some days and just find a pile of paper on the ground of random advertisements that have been sent over the weekend. It's actually quite annoying. And that says nothing about the stuff that comes the, quote, an old-fashioned way through the mail. And there's the people who stop by, too, now that I think about it. We've had plenty of those wanting to offer us this service or that or just a couple minutes, Pastor, I'd like to tell you about this great deal we have going on. Recently, one that came through was for an AED. Have you heard of this? Automatic external defibrillator. You might have seen one of these things in a hospital or an airport, maybe on a bus. It's one of those devices where they take it down and you open it up and you take the two paddles and you put them on the person's chest and it fires off that jolt of electricity. An AED does it automatically so you don't actually have to know what you're doing in theory. They're actually kind of expensive, so if anyone ever does want one for the church, you go right ahead. But they're neat. They're a good product. I won't deny that. They're certainly useful. They're a life-saving device. The idea being that a heart that is out of rhythm can be shocked back into rhythm by the placement of these two pads on a person's chest. It's an amazing piece of technology. And apparently the offer is there for us to get one for only, 12 easy payments. Today in the gospel we heard the story of the resurrection of Lazarus. It includes this line, the shortest verse in the Bible, depending on how you see it translated. Jesus wept. You've heard that verse before, right? Jesus wept. Raise your hand if you've heard that before. There you go. I remember in confirmation, I don't remember who the kid was, but someone decided to be a smart aleck. And when they had to memorize a verse for this or that or whatever it was, I was like, I'm going to memorize Jesus wept. And then they forgot which gospel it came out of, so that was funny. Jesus wept. Jesus, I don't think, is sad in this moment, believe it or not. As much as this verse is oftentimes used, this story is oftentimes used to demonstrate the humanity of Christ, the compassion of Christ, I think you can construct an argument that he is not weeping out of sadness. I think he's actually kind of angry. Let me explain somewhat briefly. Jesus knows Lazarus is going to die. If we back up earlier in the story, we see him specifically delay his departure to go to see him in Bethany by 2 days, knowing what's coming. He also knew that Lazarus was dead well before he got there, and he knew that he could do something about it. But if that doesn't convince you, maybe this will. The word in Greek that is translated later on is that Jesus was, what does it say? Let me find it right now. It comes up in here twice. It says that he was greatly disturbed in the translation today. It's in verse 33. He was greatly disturbed in spirit and deeply moved. Greatly disturbed. One of my professors in seminary talked how if you take that word and you look at how it is used in other contexts in Greek writing, it doesn't say that he's greatly disturbed. It says that he snorted angrily. It's a term that is sometimes used for a horse that is foaming at the mouth, ready to run. He's greatly disturbed. I'll try it. He's not sad. He's fed up. He's frustrated. He's frustrated with the people who are here who aren't getting it. He's this far into his ministry. He's walked with his disciples. In the Gospel of John, we've had the changing of the water into wine, for example. We've had other signs of healing that he has done, giving people sight, giving them the ability to walk. And still people don't get it. Still, his own followers, his own disciples don't get it. And so he isn't just sad at the loss of Lazarus. He's also frustrated beyond belief at the lack of faith. His own best friends. And so what does he do? Well, obviously he resurrects Lazarus, but in effect, he shocks them. He shocks his friends, his followers. He shocks them back into life. He resets their way of thinking, their way of thinking of him. Their way of thinking about what this group of men has been doing, this group of men and some women as they have traveled. He shocks them into recognizing that the ministry that they are a part of is more than they could imagine. Into reimagining what it means to be a part of this life of this man known as Jesus of Nazareth. He tells them to have faith in the face of anything, even death. Even what to them is the ultimate period at the end of the sentence. It's over, Jesus. Lazarus is dead. Don't you get it? He says. No, it's not over. Good grief, people. Not you guys, them. I'm not yelling at you, don't worry. Human beings, if there is anything that we probably fear more than anything else, it is death. So many of our fears and anxieties, if they aren't directly death, it's related to death. For good reason, we don't know much about it. We don't really understand it. It's out of our control. These are all things we don't do well with. It means an ending to us. An ending to what has been, to what is familiar, to what is safe. But as Christ has reminded us time and time again, there is no such thing as resurrection and there is no such thing as new life without death. Literal or figuratively speaking. I can't remember what the song was called, but back in the late 90s, there was a song I remember enjoying where part of the line, closing time, that's what it was. In this one part of the chorus, it says, every new beginning comes from some other beginning's end. Which is kind of trite, but it's also very true. For there to be a new start, a new beginning, new life, there has to be an end to something that came before. When it comes to ministry, whether it is here, whether it is in the time of Christ, anywhere, the shape of ministry changes. It grows and it shrinks and it comes and it goes. Above all, it changes. It changes its shape, it changes its style, it changes its focus. But just as more importantly, it moves forward. What does Christ say after resurrecting Lazarus? What does he say to the crowd? Unbind him. And let him go. Unbind him and let him go out into the world. Unbind him and let him go forward into a new life. Unbind him and let him go out into a new world of possibilities, a world you could not possibly imagine. But trust me, Christ says, it's there. Unbind him, and let him go. A few years back, this congregation had its defibrillator moment. In a sense, was shocked into a new way of thinking, a new way of being. And while I was not here for everything that some of you went through, I know it was uncomfortable. And it was scary at times. But I applaud you for your faith. I applaud you for your willingness to follow Christ. I applaud you for your willingness to step out into something unknown and scary. Today we find ourselves with new partners in this building. New potential for programs that we have been doing for years. We find ourselves with ways of ministering that we are only beginning to explore. And at the meeting after worship, we will talk about some of those things. We'll reflect. And as a community of faith, as a community of friends, as a community of lovers of Christ, we will ponder what that means for us today and tomorrow and the next day. We will look at our assets. We will look at our needs. We will ponder how we use them, how we address them, how we do as Christ commanded, how we unbind ourselves and let ourselves go out into this world. With the defeat of death at the hands of Christ, the best part of all that, we have nothing to fear while we do so. Amen.